Welcome back to another podcast. I'm Bob Furring. And there are a lot of things that go on around here that people just kind of take for granted, but they shouldn't take for granted. And a key one is the library. And Barbara Perler is here to tell us about what goes on there. Barbara, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Bob.
First of all, I'd like to a bit about you. How long have you lived here?
We bought our house in 04, the end of 04.
So you must have been one of the original...
One of the original owners before there was even a Montecito Clubhouse, correct.
Wow. And did you have any background in library work?
Not a librarian. I'm an English teacher. I taught English in high school in three different states. Four different states, actually. Chicago, Michigan, outside of Detroit, Michigan, in L.A. with the L.A. City Schools, and 1 year in Ohio. Mm-hmm. So I've been teaching English since 1961.
So books have been a large part of your life for a long time.
And I'm an avid reader. I've got to have a book. My Kindle or a book, one or the other.
Okay, and so you arrived here in 2004, and what did you find?
No clubhouse, and the clubhouse then in 2005, and opened at the end of 2005. And we, in the brochure, I remember them talking about a library being a part of this clubhouse. Well, the library consisted of two little shelves with knickknacks, and that didn't work for a library. So there was an amenities committee that really went to Pulte and said, there are some things that we need for you to contribute, not contribute, but we feel you didn't come through, and the library was one of them. So Pulte did come through, and they built the shelves that you now see in the library.
Mm-hmm.
So we were very, very grateful for that.
And I know that the library has got an enclosed area and then an area that extends out into the hallways. Did Pulte do all of that for you?
Pulte, at first, they did not want us to use those front shelves that face the ballroom. They felt that it didn't really look that nice for prospective buyers. Mm-hmm. But we assured them that we would organize it and keep it neat, and we desperately needed those shelf space. So the powers that be here, our lifestyle, said go ahead and use that shelf. So that's mm-hmm. where our biographies, autobiographies, historical books are located, on that shelf that faces the ballroom.
I see. So Pulte built the shelves.
Pulte built the shelves.
But you made... you populated the books.
Right.
How did that happen?
Well, I believe at that time the View was our best venue for that. We just said, we need books, and we need volunteers. And then they started pouring in. Many people, like myself included, moved from big houses back east or wherever and found that there's just didn't have the space for all their books. So people started coming in with boxes of books, so many so that we were just... overloaded, and but very quickly we were able to fill up the shelves. We developed a system, of course, you know, with the author's last name, the initial of the last name, and then we have a system for biographies and autobiographies. And we have never. Our problem is not lack of books. Our problem now is too many books. Mm-hmm. So we have to periodically purge the shelves, look for books that aren't being read, pack them up, and send them off to a charity.
And tell us what kind of books you like and what the process is for purging the books.
Well, one year, we decided to track the books. This is probably going back maybe 5 or 6 years to see what books were being read. And we found out that our readers, for the most part, want fiction, and they do like biographies and autobiographies and historical. So we have really said, okay, those are what we're going to populate the shelves with. We're not going to take cookbooks. We're not going to take how-to books. We're not going to take how to improve your golf game. Or we just had to decide the books that were being read.
Right.
So the View even explains that very clearly, what books we will not take and what books we will.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally you'll get somebody saying, why don't you have cookbooks? And I'll say, well, we don't have the room, but if you want to know how to make a cheesecake, go online and you'll find 2,000 recipes.
That's what YouTube's for, right?
Nobody really uses their, yeah. I don't use my cookbooks anymore. But that's where we got our books. And now as far as purging, we have a system. We have a sticker that we put inside the book, Sun City Shadow Hills, property of Sun City Shadow Hills. And every time that book, when it's donated, we put down the date, 4/17. Mm-hmm. And every time it goes out and comes back to us as a return, we put the return date. Now, if we see a book has a lot of dates in it, it's being read. If we see it was donated on 4/17, or let's say 4/16, let's go back, and there's no date after that, that means that book was donated and nobody's read it for a year. So we purge it.
So
we discard it.
It gets a one-year probation.
It gets a probation. And if we only see that donated date, then and that's it. Then it's gone.
Okay, well,
it's
useful.
Boxed up and sent off to Angel View.
That's useful. And do you have a section for large type books?
We do. At the bottom shelf, facing the computers, it'll say LP. There'll be a sticker on the back. In addition to the letter of the author, above that will be an LP sticker, and that says large print. We would like more of those. So one of the things we're going to put in our next view article in the view is to see if we can't garner some more large print books, because a lot of our readers really want those.
Yeah. So if someone is interested in checking out a book, what's the process?
Okay, well, the process is there's no real checking out. You walk into our library, you look around, you find three or four books. We ask you to take no more than four at a time that you want to take home and read. You just walk out with them. And we hope that you will return them in a timely manner, in good shape. And I would say 98% of our books do get returned. Some sooner, some later, but they do come back. And for the ones that don't, we don't worry about it. They're replaced by others. But there is no checkout system per se. You just take four books at a time and go on your merry way and read and enjoy. We want to make it easy for our readers, not a big process.
And there you have things in the library in addition to books, right?
Yes, we do. We have books on tape. Those are very popular, the audiobooks, CDs. Those are constantly all coming in. Frequently go out very quickly, but they're returned or we get more in place. We also have puzzles, a lot of puzzles, and those are actually on the shelf facing the front door. So if people are looking for puzzles, there's no organization to them. You just have to pick through them. And then we also collect magazines and keep some popular magazines, and we keep them for 2 months and then replace them.
Would you like to get more CDs?
We would like more CDs. We'd like more books on tape, absolutely.
Yeah, because then they have two benefits. Number one, people listen. Number two, they don't take up much space.
That's right. That's right. And if you walked in there today and look where we have the CDs and where we have the books on tape, you will see very few. And that's because our snowbirds take them with them when they leave. When they're driving away a long distance, they want those books on tape, which are a great thing when you're driving a long distance, and they take the CDs. So we're very low on those. But we would ask. We always need more of those, definitely.
I see. Will they return in the fall?
They will. And come September, all those books and all those CDs and all those whatever has been taken out of the library come back, and we are then inundated. And then we work really hard to get everything back in place.
And how are you doing volunteer-wise? Do you have enough, or would you like
I
more?
I do. Right. I really can use more. That's always at the bottom of our article in the View. Please call Barbara Perler if you have any comments or questions, or if you're interested in volunteering. I could always use them, especially in the summer, because we've lost probably about a third of the people that work in the library. They've gone back to Canada, Washington, wherever, Oregon.
Yeah. And if someone's thinking of volunteering, what kind of time commitment are they
their
looking
time
at?
Commitment, as I say, we are very, very loose about this. My volunteers, they work for, that's why they call them volunteers, nothing. And I can't say to them, well, you have to give me 4 hours on your Tuesday or whatever. I tell all my, and I train them when they first volunteer. They pick a day, the day that works for them, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They pick the time they want to come in. If they want to come in at 8 in the morning, they want to come in at noon, they want to come in at 5 in the afternoon, they can give an hour, they can give 2 hours. If you've only got 45 minutes, fine. Whatever you can do, whatever you have energy and time for. Somehow we manage with that. Somebody said, oh, that's not going to work. You know, your books are going to pile up and it's going to be a mess. It's really worked, Bob.
It's worked for 13 years.
It has been since, let's say, for 11 years. It's been working. And so if it works, why kill it?
that's a good thing. Well, the library is certainly a benefit. A lot of retired people like to read. And it's good to put a face on the library and get some idea of your process to why the books that are on the shelves are really there.
Right.
It's not just random.
It is not random. And I want to tell you that many of my volunteers tell me, and we just had a coffee and we were talking about it, how people pass by and come in the library and they can see somebody working and they say, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful library you have. And the community is very appreciative of this amenity. And we appreciate them using it.
I'm just saying, Are there any changes, or is there any evolution going on to the future?
Well, I had hoped we would evolve into more shelf space, and I did ask the powers that be, and we talked about it. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. What we have is what we're going to get. There's just no more. Now, there may be a place where they could put a shelf down the hallway, let's say in the Montecito, but that doesn't make any sense, and it's removed from the proper library. Right. So we'll just keep what we have and keep updating, and we're looking for newer books now. Mm-hmm. Some of the things we try to purge are books that, you know, the publication date's 1963, let's say. And we say, okay, let's make room for some of the newer books.
Yeah.
But one of the issues is a lot of people are using Kindles now. I'm guilty of this too. So they're not going out buying books so much as ordering them online. Mm-hmm. And but there's still plenty, and there's still many people moving in. I had a man recently call, say they just arrived, and they have books, and they have seasons of things like Game of Thrones on TV, some of these seasons, and they've got all the CDs from that and bunched together, and could they bring them in? We say, wonderful, we love them, and we love the newer books.
So just to get the distinction, the CDs I think of as audio, but you have videos as well as audio.
I mean, we might have a movie, Star Wars, the new Star Wars, okay, a video. But the audiobooks are somebody's reading the novel to you. And those are great for trips. I've used them myself.
Right.
So we'd like some more of those, too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for coming in and sharing with us everything that happens there.
My pleasure. If anybody out there would like to volunteer, particularly during the summer months, I could use a few more volunteers. But keep using our library. That's what it's all about.
Okay. Well, hopefully this will stir up some interest. Barbara, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
And for the audience, thank you for your attention. Until next time, bye-bye.